Last weekend, Storm Dennis brought a most unusual visitor to our shores, a 77-metre-long ghost ship, the MV Alta. The Alta had been abandoned by her crew 6,500 kilometres from Ballycotton 18 months ago. Her crew were lifted off by the US Coast Guard some 1,500 kilometres southeast of Bermuda in September 2018. Attempts were then made to tow her to South America, but when they failed, she was allowed to drift. The Alta was next sighted a year later by the officer of the watch on a Royal Naval vessel, the HMS Protector. That officer was Lieutenant Tristan Balcom. He spoke to me earlier today from the UK and told me about finding the Alta.
I'm one of the officers of the watch on the Royal Navy's Ice Patrol ship, HMS Protector. That comes with a number of responsibilities, but essentially at sea, for a period of time, I am responsible for the safe navigation and conduct of the ship. So I control the bridge, I control where the ship goes, how it interacts with other shipping, the sea, and also responsible for all the routines on board and any responses to any issues or emergencies we might have on board.
Last year, you came across a very strange sight in the middle of the Atlantic.
Yes, it was just before dawn. We were en route from the UK to Bermuda, still quite far from Bermuda, and I had another unidentified radar contact. What was unusual about it was that it had no lights. They had no AIS, so that's the automatic identification ship system that vessels of that size would normally have operating, and there was no response to VHF either. As a Royal Navy warship, we take interest in anything that might be unusual or untoward at sea. So we closed the range to the vessel, and in the meantime, it was getting quite close to dawn, so we were able to see it as well. It's very unusual to come across a ship like that at sea with no apparent any signs of life on board.
And it's quite a big ship, 77 metres, nearly 2,500 tonnes.
No. She's not a small ship. So as mariners, we definitely have a responsibility to preserve the safety of life at sea. So our primary responsibility at the time was to establish whether there was anybody on board. So we made every effort to hail the ship, but there was absolutely no sign of life whatsoever. They had no engines, no propulsion. There was no sign of any electrical generation, anything like that. So. We sounded our siren as well quite a bit, so we essentially established that there was nobody on board. But the ship was in, and so this was autumn of last year, and we subsequently found out she'd been drifting for almost a year at that point, and she was in remarkably good condition then.
And she had drifted quite a long way, because I understand the US Coast Guard had found her 1,200 miles southeast of Bermuda.
Yeah, well, I presume it's the Gulf Stream that's brought her subsequently across the Atlantic, but she drifted a long way, presumably in some quite bad weather, and yet there was absolutely no sign of damage. All the ropes were still stowed neatly, presumably as they'd been left by the crew when they were evacuated by the US Coast Guard. And the pilot ladder was still neatly deployed over the side. So yeah, it was, when we were there at the time, it certainly didn't look like she'd been drifting for a whole calendar year.
You didn't put anybody on board?
So, like I said, our main concern was the safety of life at sea. Once we'd established with some certainty that there was nobody on board, we unfortunately, I don't believe we had the time or the resources to investigate further.
So it took it then another nearly 6 months to wash up on the coast of Ireland. It seemed to be moving quite quickly.
Yeah, it does seem to. So naturally, we also reported it to the American authorities that have responsibility for that area, so that to ensure that it wasn't a future danger to shipping. But it does seem to have travelled remarkably far within that time frame. But I suppose the North Atlantic at that time or this time of year can be quite rough, quite a lot of wind. So it's, you know, and the prevailing direction would be towards the UK. So it's Ireland, so it's not entirely surprising that it's come all that way, but it is remarkable that it's washed up on the Irish coast.
Do you come across many ships when you're out in the middle of the Atlantic like that, or is it completely deserted?
It depends where you are. So if you're in the more frequented shipping lanes, then you'd expect to maybe come across perhaps a few vessels a day. But where we were, no, perhaps we saw one vessel every day or two, not always visually, sometimes by radar or by the other methods. But it's very unusual to come across an abandoned vessel, especially one of that size.
Can you tell me something about HMS Protector? She's a polar research vessel.
Yeah, so she's the Royal Navy's ice patrol ship. She fulfills several functions for the Royal Navy and for the FCO. Primarily, we are a British sovereign presence within the South Atlantic and the British Antarctic territories. And within that, we also work to ensure compliance with the Antarctic Treaty by conducting various visits and inspections to other nations' bases. But we also have a huge role in providing logistics support to science and research in the polar regions. Primarily, we work with the British Antarctic Survey. And notably, last season, we did a lot of work on the Thwaites Glacier project, which I believe has had some prominence in the news recently. But we delivered a lot of supplies to a very remote part of the world in order to enable them to conduct that science.
It sounds like a very exciting lifestyle.
Yeah, she's a very interesting ship to work on.
You're now back on shore, you're teaching, but are you surprised that the Alta made it all the way to Ireland without being seen again?
I think it's remarkable, yes. It's certainly, the odds are quite slim that A, it wouldn't be seen by anybody, and B, that it's washed up on that part of the coast in a populated area within Ireland, yes.
Thanks to Lieutenant Tristan Balcombe of HMS Protector. And it's remarkable how undamaged the Alta is, even lying on the rocks near Ballycotton. There is a gash on the side, but apparently that can be repaired before attempts are made to refloat her. In the meantime, it seems a helicopter will be used to remove barrels of oil to avoid spillages and pollution. A contractor has now been engaged to remove what little diesel is on board and a number of sealed barrels of oil, which could pose a pollution threat. No decision has been made yet about an attempt refloater, but we're told there's little scrap value in the ship. Last weekend, I was at the Irish Angling Expo in Dublin, where Inland Fisheries launched an open call for women to try angling. They'll be running a number of free events throughout the year, giving women an opportunity to try angling for free on some of the country's best rivers. The IFI's Sarah Healy told me what was on offer.
I'm Education Outreach Coordinator based in Ballina.
With the IFI?
With the IFI, yes, that's correct, yeah.
What are you doing here today?
So we're here today to launch a pilot programme, women's dry fishing. So we want to get women to experience fishing in a comfortable and safe environment and to get more women out fishing.
How are you going about that?
So we have a pilot programme and we have three locations around the country. So we have a location on the Moy, the Blackwater and on the Shannon, where we are encouraging women to sign up to our programme to experience fishing along with Glenda Powell, an experienced angling coach. And we'll bring them out for the day and we will teach them how to fish. So different types of fishing, spinning and fly fishing. And so women can become comfortable in and around water and experience the joy of fishing and also the joy of just being outside and experiencing nature and, I suppose, getting away from screens and getting a bit of me time and also maybe learn that it's something that the whole family can get involved in as well.
I'm often told that women make far better anglers than men.
I would like to think so. Yeah, I think we have the patience for it, yeah.
A woman wants to, thinking of trying angling, what do you think she's going to get out of it?
Well, what I think she's going to get out of it is, first of all, she'll get to learn the basics of fishing. She'll learn that it's not an expensive sport, that it's accessible to all, and that we have such a great resource here in Ireland, that we are so lucky here in Ireland that we have such amazing rivers and lakes and coastline as well from which to experience fishing and all the different types of fishing that you can do in Ireland.
What you're doing today, the initiative, the tryout days you're having, they're free.
Well, we encourage women to come along and to sign up. And
how do I do that if I'm a woman? I'm maybe interested. What dates do you have? And
so the dates that we have, so we have four dates in each location. So on the Blackwater, we have the 4th and the 18th of April, and the 16th and the 30th of May. And then on the River Moy, we have the 6th and 20th of June, and the 18th and 25th of July. And then on the Shannon, We have the 22nd and 29th of August, and the 5th and the 12th of September. And we have two sessions each day. We have an morning session and we have an afternoon session, and they're all on Saturdays, again, to make it more accessible for women to sign up to join.
Where am I going to find details of that?
So you can find details on it on www.fisheriesireland.ie/women. And on that site, there's a sign-up form where we encourage women to express an interest there, to sign up their interest, to pick the dates that where they want to go and the location that they want to go, and we'll get back to them then.
Do I need any specialised equipment to go along?
No, you don't need any specialised equipment. We'll provide all the equipment on the day. So we'll be providing waders, wading sticks, buoyancy aids, hats, glasses, and all your appropriate safety equipment.
Am I guaranteed to catch fish?
I would say there's a high chance of catching a fish. Yeah, the beats that we're going on and the locations that we're going they're great for fishing. And we're going to try to be different methods of fish that we'll be using. So there's different types of fish that you're going to catch. So the chance of catching the fish is quite high.
What kind of interest have you had here today? It's a very male-dominated environment.
It is, yeah, but, males have, men that come to us, they have women, they've got their wives, their sisters, their partners, their daughters, and they want to get them out fishing with them. So this is the time to... to get them to experience that.
Most men I know would love their wives or partners to come along with them.
Yes, yeah. Why not? Make it a family thing. Get out there, get to enjoy it all together. And, have a bit of nice, friendly competition between who can catch the most fish.
And you can apply for one of those days through the IFI website. There are 24 free half days available. As you heard in that interview, the locations for those days are the rivers Blackwater, the Moy and the Shannon. And one of the world's leading fly casting instructors, Glenda Powell, has teamed up with IFI to teach the participants. There will also then be a follow-up programme for women with a further interest in angling. The programme is open to all women aged 18 and over. I'm told booking is essential as there are a limited number of spaces. And if you're interested in taking part or would like more information, visit fisheriesireland.ie/women. And on the theme of women in angling, one of the busiest stands on the show was the Irish Ladies Fly Fishing Association. I pay them a visit.
My name is Julie McGeever and I'm a member of the Irish Ladies Fly Fishing Association. I'm also on the Irish team this year. I've been around this fly fishing game since 1992-93 when it was founded down on Loch Conn by Anne Geary. And I suppose, I've 13 caps, but I've been very involved with it. And I fish mainly on the west of Ireland lakes, Loch Conn, Loch Corrib, Loch Mask. And then when I'm fishing with the ladies, we trial in all four provinces, so you could find us up on Loch Melvin, or you could find us up in Stray Lake, or you could find us on Loch Lean in County Westmeath, or you could find us down on Loch Lean in Killarney. So we fish all of the four provinces, and that qualifies us then, they're the qualifiers to make the Irish team to fish in England, Scotland, Wales and Ireland on a rotational basis.
They Inland Fisheries are doing a campaign here at the moment to get more women involved in angling. Why should women get involved?
Well, I suppose they say to you, why do you fish? And I always say, well, why not? Some ladies play golf, some ladies go play tennis or whatever. If I don't have a background in fishing. A lot of the women who come into fishing, their fathers will have fished, their partners will have fished. So they'll have gone along with the men in their lives, like their fathers or their partners. In my case, I one day found myself owning a hotel in Pontoon, County Mayo, and it was a good Bishop McAdoo all those years ago suggested I should get to know what my clients, my guests were doing, and he took me out fishing. Now, the ladies who come into it generally have an association with somebody who fishes. There is another area that ladies come into fishing, and that is through casting for recovery. Have you heard of Casting for Recovery is a charity set up by two wonderful ladies. One of them lives here in Ireland, Sue Kidby and Sue Shaw, whereby casting, the art of casting a fly rod, helps to develop the muscle up for ladies, muscle in the breast area after they've had breast cancer and chemo. And they run retreats all over in Great Britain and Ireland. Now, the Mount Falcon Castle down in Ballina, they are the chief sponsor of it here. And there's actually a retreat coming up the end of April for ladies who are going through the treatment or in the aftermath of chemo, and they learn how to fly fish both hands. And it's a known fact and a proven fact that it actually is very good for muscle, all of that. But also it gets them out in the fresh air, it gets them to meet other women. And quite a few ladies have come into the whole fishing thing because of this. The other area is you're looking for something to do. Why do I fish? I suppose in the real sense is that one-to-one with nature. It's the best view you can have of nature is from a boat or on a bank. It also, I live a busy life, as most people do, and despite all the business of everything is happening, when I get out in the water, I leave that behind.
Sure.
And that probably is the best reason to say I fish. It's to be able to have that switch off, but at the same time, I'm a competitive person, so I'm competing. But you know why I fish them? The sociability. Like, you meet the people, same people at the same competition. Not the same people. You're always meeting new people. I suppose I love that idea. You go there, you're drawn with a boat partner. Lots of times it's the boatman and you fishing. You spend 7 hours in a boat with somebody else. Of course you chat, you interact. I mean, here today at the stand, one man came up and was all chatty, and he said, "I must have fished with you 20 years ago." And that's the sociability side of it.
Later on last weekend, I was presenting the awards at the Irish Specimen Fish Committee Awards Ceremony. There, I met this extraordinary young lady angler, Amy Kennedy. She told me about her angling.
So I kind of like fishing because when I was three, when I was at home, my dad rang my mum, and then I went straight to the lock, and then ever since I was fishing.
What kind of fish do you catch?
All different types.
Tell me one.
My biggest fish was a skate, 200 pound.
That's bigger than me, never mind you.
And I kind of like catching skate because I think I like being a challenge for me. A bit of a challenge.
What age are you now?
8.
A 200 pound fish bigger than you. Were you afraid?
No.
No. And you put these up on YouTube?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Amy's Fishing Adventures.
There you go. Are you going to keep up fishing?
Yeah.
What are your plans for this year?
Shark, and my dad promised me he will bring me out for blue shark this year.
Congratulations. And you got an award here today?
Yeah.
For what?
For 10 species.
I've never caught one.
The remarkable Amy Kennedy. And I'll bring you more from some of the people I met at the Specimen Fish Awards over the next couple of weeks. Some of the very biggest fish caught off Ireland are tuna. And now we have a tagging system which allows skippers to catch and release these enormous fish. The charter boat skippers range from Donegal right down to Cork. And at the Angling Show, I met a couple of skippers who told me about their season.
My name is Brian McGilloway. I'm from Killybegs. I'm a charter skipper for about 30 years, 35 years maybe even.
Last summer you had the new tagging system for tuna. Tell me how it went.
It went very well. It wasn't easy. It was very, very, I found it very hard. I hadn't a lot of book. I had only about a couple of days booking for tuna. But we went out didn't to try to help the tagging thing. We tagged, I think, 6 or 7 fish in 10 days.
Yeah.
But it was good, but it was very hard. I found it very hard work. When the weather, in bad weather, it's hard job. But anyhow, it was done, and please God, we'll do it this year again, you know.
How far off the offshore did you have to go?
We only were about 5-6 miles.
Okay. Because these tuna, how come they end up around Donegal?
I don't know why. They're coming to that area in a long, 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 long time. They've come into that area away at the beginning. I think people didn't bother about them. They thought that they were actually dolphins. we got the first tuna in 2000. Yes. That was the first line caught tuna in Ireland, actually.
What kind of people are you taking out? Are they locals? Are they coming from abroad?
No, they're not locals, no. We're trying to target England, the continent, not, you know. No locals. Locals are not into that. Because, I mean, you get some of the people are going to where? To America to fish big game fish, and they're going here, and they're going there. They're on their own doorstep. Like,
yeah. Now, they're going to have the tagging system again next year? Or this year?
Yeah. They are, yeah. Starting this year in the beginning of July, and it's going on to November, which is good. It'll be good. It will be good when the whole thing's got sorted out.
Adrian Malloy, what kind of a season have you had last year with tuna angling?
Yeah, it was very good. The weather was pretty poor, but the fishing was good.
You had the new tagging system. How did that go?
Went very well. We tagged 96 tuna for the IFI Marine Institute tagging program, so that was good.
96?
96.
What size fish are we talking about?
Anywhere from 200 to 500 pounds in weight.
It's big game angling.
It's big game angling, yeah. Donegal style.
Yeah. How far off the coast are you going for that?
Generally speaking, between 3 and 5 miles.
So not too far?
Not too far. Sometimes as close as 50 metres.
Really,
yeah.
What's the length of the season?
This year opens in July and ends mid-November.
Just tell me about the tagging program, how that worked, and you've been waiting for it for many years.
We have, yeah. I mean, we've done some tagging over the last few years for the Marine Institute. It's a satellite tagging in combination with the Marine Institute and the American Tagger Giant program. That's in 2019. The IFI and the Marine Institute, in association with the Department of the Marine, did an autonomous tagging program in Ireland.
So it meant that you could go out and catch these fish. You don't even bring them on board, do you?
No, we don't. It's all tag and release at the side of the vessel. So let's stress the fish as little as possible.
Yeah. How long does it take to get one of those next to the boat if you hook them?
Generally speaking, between 15 minutes and half an hour.
Yeah. The tackle you use is very heavy. You've got the attractors you use here, they're what, about over a foot long?
They are. They're about 400 millimetres long. And the leader line is about 400 pounds breaking strain.
Okay. And you tow those along the top of on the surface?
Yeah, we troll the lures on the surface of the water behind the boat, between 20 and 50 metres behind the boat.
Who have your customers been? Who's caught all of these fish?
I get customers from all over the world, believe it or not. From last year, from Norway, Denmark, Ireland, Scotland, England, America, Japan, Singapore.
That is going to continue again this year?
This year they've extended the program. Last year was 15 vessels in Ireland. This year they've allowed 25. And I've said that it will continue for another 2 years after that as well.
This year, my understanding is that Donegal, in the northwest coast, you had the most successful time. The fish didn't really come down to the south coast until much later.
No, that seems to be the case. But I think the other thing, it's a bit of a chicken and an egg situation in Donegal. There's more experience of them, and people have been fishing for them for longer periods and know better how the season works and where the fish are. And that may take time to develop up the south and west coasts.
If I'm interested in going fishing with you, how do I contact you?
My details are all on the cards here.
Tuna.ie.
Tuna.ie is the website. Or Tuna Ireland on Facebook.
Thanks to Adrian Malloy and all of the others involved in that project. And I'll be revisiting the Angling Expo over the next couple of weeks. I took the time when I was there to speak to some boat sellers and boat makers. We'll hear from those over the next while. And I'll also be returning to those specimen fish awards and some of the anglers I met there.